Correct. I just spilled water over my whole teaching, so we'll see how these things go. These cups are really nice, but when you forget to close the lid and you pull it sideways, it comes out pretty quickly. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. Enjoying this spring? I know I am. I really appreciate the later nights to be able to go outside and just enjoy God's creation, enjoy hanging out with the kids, enjoy doing stuff. Well, I want to begin today by giving away some of my prized possessions. Maybe not my favorite possessions in the world, but they are mine. And so I want to start it off just giving you guys an opportunity to take something of mine and have it for yourself. So if I could have a couple volunteers, Jeff, I'm sure you really want to come up here for this, no? Jeff has gotten my prizes before, my special things. He had a special bag a while back, but I need four volunteers. Brian, you're always a volunteer. Come up here. You get first pick. Now, Dan, you're going to have to wait for a moment here. You may choose any one of those four. Daniel, you were up here second. You get to choose any one of those four. I was guessing you were going to pick that one. All right. You may take one of these. And then you get that, sir. All right. You guys can take a seat. You know, you guys take it back. Keep it. It's yours. I'm just starting off giving you away. Unfortunately, there are no eggs in this box. We go through a lot of eggs in the Shingler house, in case you're wondering, but we already used all the eggs up. So we're going to leave it at there for now. They got their prizes, some of my prized possessions. They're things that I have used before, or at least have had in my possession, and now I'm passing them on to you guys. And before we go any farther, I just want to open up with some prayer. Father God, we do thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for how great and an awesome God you are. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come together, Lord, as believers and praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for that time of praise and worship, Lord, where we could just glorify you. We ask, Lord, right now as we come together that you would give me the words to speak, Lord. Our hearts would be open to hear your voice and hear your word, what your word is speaking to us. Help us to leave this place, Lord, with a better understanding of who we are in you and what you have called us to do. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, today's message is going to focus on a key verse found in 1 Peter. Pastor Jesse actually closed last week's message with the same passage of scripture, if you guys were here. And while praying about what to speak about this week, God kept bringing this passage back to mind again and again. And so the more I studied it, the more I realized it was exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm praying that it's will also have an impact on you guys and be what you need to hear for today and for this part where we are in our lives with Christ. And it comes again from 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm reading the NIV for this verse, and it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This passage of scripture was written to us. It was written to you. It was written to me. It was written to all of us. It says we are what? We are chosen. We are royal. We are holy and God's special possession. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about who God says you are, who God says we are, and what God has called us to do. But before we go there, let's look at who Peter was originally writing this letter to. I mean, a lot of the books of the Bible, if you're reading through it, they were books, but they were also, before that, they were actual letters. And this was one of the letters that Peter, it was the first Peter, the second Peter sent out different letters, but this Peter, no, they're both the same guy. But 1 Peter, this one, his first letter, I don't know if it's his first letter he ever wrote or what, but 1 Peter, his first letter he sent out, this is what he had to say. And he was speaking to basically persecuted Christian Gentiles that were scattered across what we now know as Turkey, the area of Turkey. They Gentiles basically, they weren't Jew, but they were following God. Because before, you know, the Jews, they were the holy nation. They were the ones who were following God, Almighty God, Creator. And then these Gentiles, they heard about this God named Jesus Christ, who is one with Father God. And they started following him. But these Gentiles, they weren't Jews, so they were separate. And they were also in the land that was not known to be worshiping God, Father God. So they were considered really exiles. And we're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of his letter. And Peter is basically addressing who he is. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's saying, hey, I am Peter. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm somebody he is sending out. So I want to address this to you. And he says, to God's elect, this is who he's talking to. He said, you are God's elect. And he said, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He's basically, again, this area is like modern day Turkey. He's saying, hey, you who are scattered out, who are exiles, who are persecuted, I want to speak something into your life. I'm writing this letter to address you about who God is and who God calls you to be. These people, again, they were exiles. They were persecuted Christians. They were harassed and often seen as traitors because their empire said, go this way. And they were like saying, no, I'm not going to go that way. I believe something else. They were often rejected because they chose to worship Christ rather than the pagan idols of the land. They chose to worship Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, rather than these other idols that their neighbors, their friends, their family, their government were saying were gods. These other pagan idols were there. They had grown up worshiping these same idols. They had grown up worshiping these same pagan gods. But then they heard the truth about Christ, and they said, we're going to worship Christ instead. And because of that, they were harassed. They were persecuted. They were put down again and again. And yet, going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter addressing these Christians that were being persecuted and made fun of, basically says, you are not rejected. He's speaking to him and saying, you are not rejected, but rather you are chosen. You are God's chosen people. You are royalty. You are a royal priesthood. You are holy. You are part of a holy nation. And you are God's special possession. He's saying, rather than being rejected, guys, realize that's not who you are. That's who they say you are. But this is who God says you are. You are chosen, royal, holy, and his. You see, when we come to Christ as Christians, we are not just forgiven, but we're actually considered the righteousness of God through our union with Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this. He says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf. Who was it talking about? It was talking about Jesus. Jesus took that sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We don't become that holy, chosen royalty unless we're in him. But as Christians, we are in him and we gain that. We become that. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. He's speaking this, there's no difference. Back then it was either you were a Jew or you're a Gentile. He said, hey, guess what? There's no difference. They might say you're an outcast. They might say you're not worth anything, but there's no difference because God loves you to all that believe. And the same thing applies to us today. If we are Christians, we are following Christ. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. God loves you. He wants you and he calls you chosen, royalty, holy, and his. What others might see as broken, rejected, or unworthy, God sees as chosen, royalty, holy, and his. Going back to those special gifts I handed out earlier, you want to hold them up real high quick? Let's hold them up so everybody can see. All right. We've got a football over here that's a little flat. It's probably one of Brady's balls. We got a Snickers bar over there. We got a dirty sock and we got a dollar bill. All right. How do these relate to what we're talking about? Anybody have any ideas? Well, this football over here, it's what? It's deflated. And unless you're Tom Brady, it's not going to work very well, right? So this football is broken. It's kind of useless. It's no good anymore. But you know what? It doesn't matter whether or not we think we're any good. God loves you and he calls you chosen. You are his chosen people. So no matter whether you think you're useful or not anymore, God wants you to know that you are chosen. Daniel, where's your dirty sock? It actually was my dirty sock, but it's now it's yours. You can keep it forever. I mean, we are having the auction a few weeks. I know we had that Joe's towel. Now we have Micah's sock. We can see which one goes for more. But Daniel, you've got the sock. That sock is dirty. And it's not just stained dirty from being old. It's dirty as in it came off my foot from the other day, okay? So it's dirty and it has slight smell. I did distinguish between a couple socks and that one was not as potent. So I didn't want to disturb everybody, but it's a dirty sock. It's dirty. It's kind of gross. You know, sometimes we feel like, you know what? Our past is just too dirty. We can't get close to God. We have too much sin in our lives. We have too much stuff that we did wrong. Maybe God loves us and is forgiving us, but God, you still remember I did this and I did that. God says, you know what? I don't care. You are royalty to me. No matter where you came from, if you're following me and you come into me, I'm going to call you royalty. You have value. Where's the money? Back in the back. It's a whole dollar bill, right? You can go out and buy. I don't know what you can buy with a dollar anymore. Not a whole lot, okay? But it's money, and that represents just our worth. Some of us have a lot of money. Some of us have no money. Some of us, most of us fall in somewhere in between. Some of us think that we have a lot of worth as a person, and some of us think, you know what, I have no value. God says you are holy. Doesn't matter what worth you put on yourself, God sees who you are, and he sees value in you. You are holy. You are chosen. You are royalty and you are holy. And our last thing is the Snickers bar. That was one of the last two picked out. So I guess you guys knew there's something probably up here, hoping maybe a trade-in or something. But he picked a Snickers bar. You know, Snickers is the most popular candy bar in the entire world. I researched it out. I was like, huh. So I just, that's why I got a Snickers. It's the most popular candy bar in the entire world. Reese's is right up there, which is, I would argue, would be first. But it is Snickers, according to the surveys. But it doesn't matter how popular or unpopular you think you are. It doesn't matter how good-looking or tasty or sweet you think you are. God loves you, and he says, you are my special possession. You're worth more than that Snickers bar. You're worth more than anything because you are mine. And that is what God is calling us. He's saying, God, he's saying, I love you. You are mine. You are my special possession. He sees past all the labels and sees us as chosen, royalty, holy, and his. Furthermore, Christ understands, Jesus Christ understands where we're coming from. He understands that, yeah, we might feel like we're dirty at times. He might think that we feel like we're not worthy or we're useless or we're broken or we're hurt. Guess what? Christ went through a lot too. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He came to earth and went through it all. He suffered. He was persecuted. He was broken. And he understands where you and I are coming from. He understands those hurts. He understands those things we've had to been dragging around our life. He wants to free you from that and take your eyes off of that past. Take your eyes off of those labels. Take your eyes off the things people are saying about you and put your eyes on him and see yourself as chosen, as royalty, as holy, and as his. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. The verses leading up to our main verse today says this: he, being Jesus, was a living stone rejected by men, but he was still chosen and precious in God's sight. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was rejected and yet was still chosen and precious in God's sight. It says, but he was still chosen and precious. He was rejected, but he was still chosen and precious in God's sight. In the same way, it doesn't matter if we feel useless, broken, rejected, or whatever comes to mind. God loves us and calls us what? Chosen, royalty, holy, and his. That is what God calls us. And that brings me to my first point I want to talk about today, is that we need to, as Christians, remember who and whose we are. Say that out loud. Who and whose we are. We need to remember who and whose we are. Back to our main verse in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. It says, this is the who, but you are what? A chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In the same way Peter reminded the Gentiles who they were, we need to be reminded and remember who we are. Who are we? We are chosen. God chose us. God chose you, Brian. God chose you, Noel. God chose you, Melissa. We are chosen. We are his chosen people. When we chose to follow Christ, we were brought into his kingdom. We became chosen and accepted. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. You hear that? If you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, the word says, then you are Abraham's descendants. You are literally his descendants, heirs according to his promise. Do you remember the promise Abraham had? Well, that is ours now too. We're heirs to that. That means we're going to be receiving that same promise. As Christians, we belong to Christ and are heirs according to God's promise. Going back to our illustration again, it doesn't matter if we're a dirty sock, a candy bar, a deflated ball, or a dollar bill. When we come to Jesus, we are grafted into his family. We become descendants of Abraham. We become his chosen people. It isn't based on our works or what we can or cannot offer. It is God choosing us simply because he loves us. God's choosing you because he loves you, not because you what you did or didn't do, or what you can or cannot do, but he loves you, and he wants you to know, you are mine. You are chosen. God is choosing us because he loves us. We are chosen, and we are royalty. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Why is this significant? Before Christ, only the royal high priests could enter into the inner temple, into God's presence. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 6, it says this. It says, no one is to enter the temple of the Lord except the priests and Levites on duty. They may enter because they are consecrated, but all the others are to observe the Lord's command not to enter. Normal people could not enter into that temple. And even if you read it over, it even says priests couldn't enter into that temple unless they were scheduled to. They were on duty. It was their time to go in. It was, okay, this is the time to go into the temple. They were restricted from entering into God's presence. But here, going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter is saying, as Christians and as chosen people, we are the royal priesthood. We are now permitted to enter into his presence. Through Christ, we have become royalty. Through Christ, we have become a royal priesthood, enabling us that immediate and direct connection with God. Before Christ, we had to have others intercede for us. We had to have others go and do that connection to God and say, oh, I sinned. I need forgiveness. And they would go, and then the priest would go and have a sacrifice for those sins. But now through Christ, we are that royal priesthood and can have that direct communication with God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and you, again, Peter was talking to the Gentiles at that time, but it means it's also talking to us because we are those Gentiles that he's speaking to. And it says, you and we are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. We are the ones that are allowed to enter. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, through what God did on the cross, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Because of what Christ did, we are now allowed to enter. Every one of us as believers have direct access to God. We can talk to God. We know this. We can pray. And it's not just us praying some words out to nowhere. We can literally connect with God. Christ made that possible. A job that was once held for the royal priest is now ours through the sacrifice on the cross. We aren't just serving royalty, which to be able to serve royalty, that's a step up. That's pretty awesome. But we're not just serving royalty. God says that we are royalty because what God sees is Christ in us. And when we ask Christ into our lives, when we become more and more like Christ, God sees that royalty. He sees Christ in us, and we can enter into his presence. We aren't just serving royalty. God says we are royalty. We don't just serve a king. We have been grafted in and now belong to the household of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us with what we need most. So let us come boldly to the throne of God. God's welcoming us in. We can come boldly and not afraid. Hey, if I get too close, I'm going to be struck down, because that's what happened back in the day. Back with the Israelites, if somebody got too close to the temple or somebody entered in too far, even priests, if they entered in too far without permission, without being allowed to go in there, if it wasn't their time, they could be struck dead. We can go in, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God because of what Christ has done in our lives. And it says what? There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When you need that connection, when you need that access to God, it is there for you. You can connect with God. You can call out to God. You can just say, God, can you help me with this? God, can you explain this to me? God, can you give me peace? That connection, that access is there for us for the taking, because we are part of that royal priesthood. Through Christ, we have become royalty and are actually invited in to the throne of God. We have that direct access and connection to him. We are chosen, we are royalty, and we are holy. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a what? A holy nation. God calls us, God calls you and I, a holy nation. The term holy in this passage means set apart for God's purpose. We have been set apart for a purpose. Not just set aside. It doesn't say set apart. Aside. We have been set apart. We have pulled out. We have been chosen. We have been called royalty. And we are holy. We have been set apart for a purpose. Separated and distinct from the world's standard of conduct, dedicated to God. As Christians, you and I are part of the holy nation. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says this, "And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." He made that possible. He made that possible for you and I. We are now set apart. We are now holy through him. It is through him and his sacrifice that we are holy. When we discussed this at youth group this last week, I've mentioned this before, but a lot of times when I'm leading up to a sermon, I like to use our youth group as guinea pigs, and we speak to that. So I gave kind of a prequel to this sermon on Thursday night. And while we were talking about that, it came up to a lot of people who were like, hey, I don't really think I am holy. And we kind of reserved God is holy, which I agree, God is holy. But that's not what God is saying here. He's saying you are holy. And a lot of us say, oh, I'm not good enough to be that. Maybe you are, but I'm not. God doesn't look at that. He sees you and says, you are holy because of who you are and whose you are. Because we have Christ in us. It's what he calls us, holy and set apart. We have been pulled out of this world. It says, this is not our final home. We are like aliens in this place. We have been set apart because for a purpose, to glorify God. We are chosen. We are royalty. We are holy. And the last part is we are his special possession. Back to 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We are called God's special possession. Out of all of creation, out of everything else, what did he say? He said, this is very good. He created us in his image. He created us as his masterpiece. He created us because he loves us. And he didn't just say, hey, this is pretty cool. He says, no, you are mine. Out of everyone else, you are mine. He's saying that to you. He chose you as his. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, it says, but now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by name. You are mine. He is calling you by name. John, he has called you by name. Sandy, he has called you by name. Matt, he has called you by name. You are his. We are set apart from the world to belong entirely to God, functioning as his special possession. He says, you are mine. We are his. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, it says this. It says, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, God's saying, the whole earth is mine, but you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The whole earth is God's, and yet he's still saying, hey, Ellie, I want you. You're mine. Noel, you're mine. God wants us. We are his treasured possession. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says this. It says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with what? His singing. We are God's special possession, and he delights in us. He literally rejoices over us with singing. It's not just like, yeah, Mackenzie, you're okay. No, he delights in you. He rejoices over you with singing because he loves you. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. As his treasured possession, we gain his safety and his protection. As a father to my children, I try to provide them safety and protection And if anybody tries to come up to one of my kids and do something, whether they're saying, trying to say something and tear them down, or they try to hurt them, or they do whatever, disrespect them, as a parent, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to try to protect those people. But I'm not no mighty warrior. We have a mighty warrior that is saying, you are mine. And if anybody messes with you, I'm here. I'm going to take care of that. That gives a whole new meaning to that protection of a parent. Whole new meaning to a protection that God offers you, because you are his. And he's saying, if you are mine, you are my special possession. You are my treasured possession. I am going to protect you. And I am a mighty warrior that will stand against what comes against you. We have that. We have access to that. We are able to connect with that. We are able to call him our Lord and Savior. We are chosen. We are royalty. We are holy. And we are his. I've been reading through the Bible in a year and currently am in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm doing it in a chronological order. So from the very beginning, kind of how it happened in history, all the way through. And right now I'm in Deuteronomy, past Leviticus. Yay. But even Deuteronomy has some things. But I was reading through this, getting ready for this message today and knowing what, hey, God really laid this verse 2:9 on my heart that, hey, this is what we're supposed to be talking about today. And I remembered, hey, I was just reading about something like this back in Deuteronomy. Not Peter, not the New Testament, but back in the Old Testament. So I turned back and started looking at it. And just a week before I prepared this message, I was reading through chapter 7 in Deuteronomy. And we're going to turn there quick. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, it says this. It says, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. What's he calling us? Holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. What's he done? He chose us out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be what? His people. His what? Treasured possession. That's what he's calling us. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. He's saying, hey, this is not because you were so great and mighty, and I decided, you know what? You're so great and mighty. I'm going to pick you for my team. But no, he said, hey, you were actually the fewest. You were like the weakest, but I chose you to be my treasured possession. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery. Peter connects us, Christians, the church, to the identity of Israel. Here, years and years, 100,000 years later, Peter is referencing back to what God called the Israelites and saying, hey, that's what he called the Israelites, but guess what? That's what he's calling you, because you have now become chosen. You have now become royalty. You have now become holy. You have now become my treasured possession. The Israelites were God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. They were holy to the Lord. We are holy to the Lord. They were his treasured possession. We are his treasured possession. They were redeemed from slavery from the Egyptians. We have been redeemed from the slavery of sin. They were chosen because the Lord loved them. We have been chosen because the Lord loves us. We are these things not because of how great or ungreat we are. We are these things because God chose us and because he loves us. It says, but it was because the Lord loved you. God loves you. And it says, because he kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. Remember, we are heirs to that oath. We are heirs to that promise that he promised Abraham. We were chosen because he loves us and because God sent his son to die for us. And we are now able to be those things. We need to remember who we are and whose we are. Who are we? We are chosen, we are royalty, we are holy, and we are set apart. Whose are we? We are his. We are his special possession. Our identity should be found in Christ and Christ alone, not in others, not in what we can or cannot do, not in the things of this world. Our identity,
who we are is defined by whose we are. He called us out of the darkness. That's who we were. He has called us into the light. That's who we are. Chosen, royal, holy, and His. And that brings me to my final point for today. We are to remember whose we are, and we are to remember what we are to do. You see, 1 Peter chapter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." What are we to do? Exactly what that verse describes. It says we are all those things, chosen, royal, holy, and His. So what? So that. That word is a big word. It's that. We do this. We are called these things so that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His light. And that is the purpose of our existence, our reason for being, our reason we are here. It is to proclaim His excellencies. It is to declare His praises. We are chosen. We are royalty. We are holy and set apart to do these things. We are these things in order that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him. We exist to be proclaimers, to proclaim His goodness and His excellencies, not to call attention to ourselves, but to call attention to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by pointing others to Him. We exist to proclaim excellent things about Him who called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 20, it says, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." The people God formed will declare my praise. In Psalm 102, verse 18, it says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." When this was written, you and I were not created yet, but we have been called to praise the Lord. There will be ones after us that have yet to be born yet. They are to praise the Lord. Isaiah 60, verse 21 says, "Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands." Why? That I may be glorified. We are to declare, to proclaim His excellencies. We are to glorify Him with our lives. How do we do that? How do we proclaim His excellencies? One of the biggest ways we can make this happen is with our actions and how we live our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says this. It says, "Live such good lives among the pagans," which is saying, hey, live your lives in such a way around in this world with the people around you, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, though that maybe you're persecuted, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. When He comes back, they're like, oh, that's why. Because they were pointing towards Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Philippians 1, verse 11. "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God." And then Matthew 5, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. What would this look like for you? It's how we live our lives. It's the actions that we take. I believe this was displayed pretty heavily yesterday here. I know a lot of you guys were able to be here for this service yesterday. And what went into that was a lot of preparation, a lot of time. I know some of you couldn't even make it, but you showed up early just to help out and get things ready. And then when you were here, those of you who were here, you were here to support. You were here to encourage. You were here to lift up. You were here to talk to people. So some of you talked to people you didn't even know. You were here to talk to people, encourage them, and point them to Christ. That is what we're called to do. That is how we live it out actively, to encourage, to reach out, to shine Christ's light to those around us. That is how we ensure our deeds, our actions are bringing glory to God. That's how we bear fruit. That is how we shine that light. We are to live in the identity he has given us and to share that with those around us. Our actions, our deeds should bring glory and praise to God. This is who he calls you, chosen, holy, royalty, and his. Display that to those around you. Not in a boastful way, but say, hey, this is who God is. This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be like Christ. And Christ would show love in that situation. Christ would turn the other cheek. Christ would go out and encourage. Christ would go across the room and talk to that person who looks like nobody's reaching out to them. Christ would be willing to stop what you're doing and help somebody along the road. Christ would be the one to be able to give to the needy. Christ would be the one to be able to look out and say, how can they help? That's how we live in a way, glorify God. That is how we declare his excellencies. And another way we can proclaim and declare his excellencies is with our words. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, but in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. We encounter people every day. Are we ready to share with them the reason we have hope, the reason we are set apart, the reason we know our identity is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone? This involves having a testimony to share with those you encounter, not only of how you came to know Christ, which is important. Every one of us should know, hey, did we have that time where we came to Christ? Okay, remember that. What brought you to Christ? Have that as a testimony you can share. But not only that, have a testimony of what God is doing in your life now. Because if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life now, that means you're recognizing that God is doing something in your life now. That means that you are pressing into him. That means that you are having that access to him because he is working in your lives and you're acknowledging it and you're that chosen holy royalty that's saying, hey, I am this, that I may proclaim his goodness, that I may testify of what he is doing in my life, that I may go to my friend and say, hey, guess what God did in my life this last week? Hey, guess what? I was really struggling, but I turned to the word, I was reading in my devotions, and God just opened up my eyes to these words, and they really spoke to me. Can I share that with you? Have a testimony to share. You can share of God's goodness through sharing personal stories of how God has delivered you, healed you, brought you peace in difficult situations, given you hope, brought you encouragement, blessed you. The list goes on and on. Glorify God with your words. In closing, I'm going to have the worship team come up. We're going to close with one song. But I want to remind you of what we talked about today. We need to remember who and whose we are. We are chosen, royalty, holy, and his. And we need to remember what we are supposed to be doing. What is that? Proclaiming and declaring the excellencies of God. Bring glory to him with our actions and the things that we do with our life. Bring praise to him through the word of our testimony, through sharing with your neighbors, your friends, your family, whoever you encounter, of the goodness of God. Our life's work is to testify to the change God has brought about, bringing us out of spiritual darkness into his light. We are called to declare God's work through living out a life that points others to Christ. We're going to end today's time. Church, if you want to stand or sit, that doesn't matter. But we're going to end today's time with the same song that we started our service with today, called Praise His Name. When I was preparing for this message, God brought that song. I never even heard it before, but I was just preparing, looking online. I was like, God prompted me to start looking. I looked online, I found the song. I said, wow, that really goes along. Well, there's a repeated line in that song, not the Silent Skies, but there's a repeated line in that song about his wondrous works. It says, let all his wondrous works declare his praise. We are his wondrous works. You are his wondrous works. You and I are chosen, royal, holy, and his. That we may praise his name. So I encourage you to stand with us or sit, but just take part and spend these next couple minutes as the worship team leads us, praising his name.
Lord Jesus, we want to declare your praise. We want to proclaim your glory. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us an identity in you. We thank you, Lord, that you did choose us. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us your royal priesthood, and that we can come before you and join in your presence. We can come before you to your throne and have access to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you call us a holy nation, part of your family, not just there, but grafted in, one of your own. And we thank you, Lord, that we are your treasured, your special possession, that you are there to fight for us, you are there to protect us, that we are yours. Lord, let us declare your excellencies with our lives, the actions we take, the words we speak. Let us testify to your goodness, to how holy and awesome you are. Let us shine your light, Lord Jesus. We thank you in your name. Amen.